All right. 3, 2, 1, go! Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Anti-Shuffle Podcast, the one and only source for your local and international metal and alternative news, internationally and locally. I'm your host, one of your hosts here, a co-host, Abdullah, also known as Mazesh, and with me as well, as always, my companion, my compadre, my friend, my colleague, Mansoor.
Hello, Mansoor. Nice.
How are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling super, super excited about this one. It's a long time in the making. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have a very, very special guest.
I'll be honest, I'm pretty tired. But the guest we have today is so awesome. I feel energetic. I feel a boost of energy. And I'm pretty excited. So, you know what? Let's not waste any more time, Mansoor. We have so much to talk about. This guest is filled to the brim with so much news and content and things that we need to ask and we need to know. There's so much stuff that we need to know that we can't waste any more time here. So Mansoor, help me welcome. Our guest for today on this episode, Gigi.
Hold on. Hello.
She came back and forth. Welcome to the show, Gigi.
Thank you.
We need to tighten up these
introductions. Really awesome.
We need to tighten up these introductions, but yeah, that was not bad. That was okay.
That was awesome. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Finally, we've been rescheduling this for at least a month, صح, Abdullah?
Yeah. We've been behind the scenes. We've been trying to get Gigi, and she's been telling us, "Listen, guys, let's just." You know, I'm excited. I want to come on the episode, of course, but there's some big news. There's some stuff happening. And finally, this big news happened. We're going to talk more about that later. But Gigi, why don't you, let's assume, you know, people listening don't know who you are. We have like 10 people that like to listen to our podcast. Every episode, we're adding one more person that's listening to our podcast. That's a running joke, and we don't have a lot of listeners. But but let's, you know, for the people that are listening, including my mom, you know, let's tell them, you know, who's Gigi? You know, what is it that you do, and what's your role in the scene here?
Okay, first of all, hi mom. So my name is Gigi, and I go by the name Gigi Arabia, and I run this heavy metal promotion company called Heavy Arabia Entertainment. Outside of Heavy Arabia, I also do artist management, and I'm just involved in the music business industry. That's what I do, basically.
Awesome. Yeah, I think this is. Me and Mansoor, we've been talking about having a guest like you on the show. We always talk about, you know, music scene stuff, and we always, you know, نتكلم and. Kisna, you know, we like as if we're experts, you know, we know what we know, you know, but we don't know much, you know, so like it's nice to have finally someone who's involved in the behind the scenes stuff, you know, who's going to tell us a little bit about some of this behind the scenes stuff. So but before we get there, this is at the end of the day a music focused podcast, so we always like to ask, we start by asking, you know, what you've been listening to lately, any interesting albums, any interesting releases, any interesting bands that you've been listening to lately, obsessing over, that you want to tell us about, that you want to tell the listeners about?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people, like when they think of Gigi, they assume that she only listens to heavy metal. While, of course, like heavy metal is my favorite genre, but I listen to all sorts of stuff. And sometimes it is surprising to some people what I listen to. You know, like those toxic metalheads would be like, but I thought, you know, you wouldn't listen to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You betrayed them. They feel like you betrayed them or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or you're like a poser, you know?
Yes, exactly. So I listen to a lot of like shoegaze, dark wave. I really like that sort of stuff. And the other day I was laughing I was looking at my day list on Spotify. I'm not sure if you guys have figured out your day lists on Spotify, where it shows you like your playlists throughout the day. Oh, yeah. You're not a Spotify user, Abdullah. Okay.
Yeah, but I canceled my Spotify.
Yes, I remember. Feature, so. Yeah. And so my day list, it's different in the morning, different in the afternoon, different in the evening, and different past midnight. But what I've been listening to lately is basically just the new releases by my favorite bands. Swallow the Sun just recently released their album Shining. I've been listening to that a lot.
Okay.
I've been listening to the new Kat Von D. If you want me to give an example of something that is not metal.
What does she sound like? Pop? Like
every track is different. I'm sorry.
Is it like alternative pop sounding? Like, what does it sound like?
Yeah, it's like almost like dark pop goth in a way. Okay. Mm. Yeah, alternative. Yeah, she's very, very creative. Yeah, I've been listening to also Cemetery Skyline. It's a new super band, if you will. They released their debut album. And yeah, just a lot of metal, honestly.
Interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm also like, listen, I listen to mostly metal, right? But, you know, there are times that I will dabble, you know. I this weekend I've been listening to Run the Jewels. I've been listening to the new Halsey. Halsey, is that how you say her name? Halsey, the new record that she released. Charlie XCX has been like playing that remix album. I've been playing it like from time to time a lot. So if there's also like this really interesting, very experimental sounding like pop artist from, I think she's based from the UK. FKA Twigs or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting as well. Just released a couple of new singles. Really cool. So yeah, like, you know, it's nice to dabble from time to time and listen to other stuff. You know, it expands kind of your
horizon, right? And honestly, Abdelik, it's so surprising coming from you, because even the metal that you listen to is too heavy for me. You know what I mean? So it's really nuts, but it's good to hear that you also listen to other stuff.
Yeah,
I have to admit, man, I need sometimes a break from metal. I know this is a bit controversial. It's nice to change your palate a bit every once in a while.
Hey, exactly. Honestly, like, especially with the stuff that we listen to, like, you know, like sometimes you just need a slight break, like just change it up a little bit, you know. But
totally.
But yeah, that's really cool. So shoegaze is also something that I've been kind of exploring a little bit recently. There's a band called Word that I've been listening to. There's also recently also a band called Nothing. There's a band called Nothing that released a split with another band that I really like called Full of Hell.
Mm.
And that's a very interesting dark shoegaze album. I don't know if you've had the chance to listen to it, but yeah, I'll send it over to you as well. I'd love to check it out.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys are the same, but when it comes to certain bands or certain genres, I have to listen to them at certain times of the day. Like, for example, Swallow the Sun, I could never listen to them during the day. It's too, like, literally, it's dark. Too emotionally draining. Not even just dark, but emotionally draining. It's so funny, like, when I'm working out at the gym and then, you know, Swallow the Sun comes on shuffle, I immediately go and, like, press next or whatever. Like, I can't listen to them before midnight. But I'm not sure if you guys do something similar like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I first wake up, first thing in the morning, I can't listen to something that is just too heavy. I need something that kind of, you know, sets the mood a bit, and then I can get into the heavier stuff.
You know what's definitely funny? I can't listen to music in the morning. I don't like listening to music in the morning. Like, in the morning, I stay away from music as much as possible. Like, it's only like... Yeah, but then, like, after I've had my coffee and got to the office, did a bit of work, and then, you know, all right, I'm still, now I can start listening to music. But first thing in the morning, like, while I'm driving, like, no way, I can't do that.
Wow.
Yeah, but...
So just pure silence, basically.
No, I mean, I'll listen to something, right? I'm not insane. I will listen to a podcast or
something. A little bit insane.
Exactly. Imagine like me sitting in silence in the car, just raging at the traffic and morning traffic. But yeah, that's really cool. So, and I've always known that you're a big fan of Swallow the Sun and that stuff. But let's get right into it, man. Let's talk a little bit about you, Gigi. So, a lot of people, you know, we always hear, like, your Instagram account is very active. We always see the things that you do and the kind of initiatives and all of these events that you're around and the artists that you manage and all that. But but I don't know. You've done plenty of podcasts and a couple of interviews here and there for sure. But you know what? For whatever it's worth, could you just give us an idea of like your journey, how you started this whole heavy Arabia thing? You know, were you always a metalhead? Did you, you know, how did this whole metalhead journey into becoming a, you know, this metal promoter, like company journey begin?
Yeah. So heavy metal, just, you know, of course, everybody started off maybe with rock. I started listening to rock in my early teens. And then I immediately wanted to pick up an instrument to write music.
Okay.
And so the first instrument I picked up was the electric guitar. I started, you know, trying to learn it from books, like even YouTube back then didn't exist. Or at least it wasn't accessible to us. So I remember I was buying books whenever we traveled abroad. I still have them actually, you know, learning the chords and everything. Then I remember I joined this forum. I forgot what it was called. And there was like a sub, like a thread or a sub forum, whatever you want to call it, for rock fans. And it was an Arabic forum. And there I met the first person, the first Saudi who was into rock and metal. And that was Yusuf Eid. If you guys know him, he calls himself Jay Eid online. So I remember I reached out to him and I'm like, hey, I think you're from Saudi Arabia and I like this music and we like the same bands and stuff. Because, you know, people would post threads about, you know, news and stuff. And then we thought, okay, why don't we start a band, like an instrumental band, and then perhaps find a vocalist and stuff. So I did that for a while, maybe for 2-3 years. We were writing songs together. We even did photo shoots and stuff like that.
Did you record anything?
Oh my God. We did. We recorded stuff. But the photo shoots,
you have to share the
thank
pictures.
God for glow up. Like literally, thank God for glow up. It's so embarrassing. But we did it. And then I remember... I joined college and it took all of my time. Basically, I was such a nerd and I decided to just give up this dream because it just didn't seem possible anyways. Like I couldn't become a rock star. I wanted to be a rock star. It wasn't possible, but I just wanted to continue listening to this music. Fast forward 5-6 years later, I graduated, started my job. And then I was like, okay, this is it. I think I'm just going to do this, you know, whatever job and just not, you know, think about being involved in music. I remember it was the first year in my scholarship in the States. And that's when they announced the 2030 vision.
Oh.
And this is when things started to really, you know, look promising. I was like, well, maybe I can revisit that dream after I come back from the States. Yeah. So I remember I came back home and then I was around a lot of established bands already. So I was learning, if you will, like authentically from this community. No textbooks, nothing. I was just, you know, in the middle of the discussions and stuff like that. So I was learning kind of like passively. And then Mu'tasim Qabbani of Metal East Records noticed me at some show. I think I was at the airport picking up Insomnium and he's like, who are you? I'm the promoter. Like, what are you doing here? Why are you picking up my band? Because I was at the airport there in Dubai.
In Dubai, okay.
In Dubai, yeah. Trying to pick up Insomnium from the airport, and they were playing a show. So Martas was like, "Wait a sec! Like, who are you? Why are you picking up my band?" So I explained to him that I was a fangirl and I had already arranged it with their tour manager and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, fangirl, sure. Just don't kidnap them, but okay. So then I started attending more shows in Dubai, and Mahsen Qabbani wanted to, you know, wanted me to join him in Middle East Records and invest in the shows, since I was there, like at every show, basically. So I did that, and that's when my real, real learning started happening. I was learning from him. He was showing me a lot of samples of contracts and you know, basically all the communication that was happening. I was in copy just for him to teach me how to do it. And then after I did that, we worked on Sepultura's show and Omnium Gatherum. And then I took like online classes in artist management and in concert promotion and event management and stuff like that. It was all like just me doing my thing. I think a year later, or maybe 2 years later, oh yeah, then COVID happened and nothing was happening. Then the Ministry of Culture launched this program called Sana. It lasted for 8 months, and that was my first official education, basically, in music business and artist management. And basically, I think that's where I learned most of the applicable things in Saudi, because everything that I learned outside of that was probably only applicable in the States, especially when it comes to contracts. Yeah, it doesn't apply to us. Yes. Yeah, a lot of those, like, contracts and stuff, you know, they don't, you know, taxes and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, so we did that. And then during lockdown, I wanted to, like, create a brand that is Saudi and start something. But I was doing it very slowly because I like, we couldn't tell when the ban on live events was going to be lifted. So I was doing it very slowly, you know, working on my branding, studying the market and stuff like that. And that's when I knew I just wanted to come back to this world as an enabler of artists and not an artist anymore. And I honestly don't see it in me anymore. You know, I can't see myself going back to, you know, the creative side of things. Yeah. I really enjoy the business side of things. And I think that, like, even my background and my original career path helped me a lot in this. And then I didn't have any expectations as what's going to happen and stuff, but it's picking up nicely. It's very slow progress, but it's picking up nicely.
Did you expect when you were first starting that you would be getting, like, bands and stuff like that, or was it like, oh, I'm just going to be supporting local musicians and helping them promote them and helping, you know, kickstarting them, and, you know, just seeing how I can support the local scene?
So, as you know, Abdullah, when we launched Heavy Arabia, that was the ultimate goal, or that was one of the ways I was going to support our local bands. Our local bands cannot survive on their own. They need to tap into other people's fan bases, and they need the world to know about them. And that was possible by also having them collaborate with international bands or even open for them at shows and stuff. I wasn't pushing for, you know, booking international bands right after the launch, because I just didn't even know what kind of reaction I was going to receive from the public. You know what I mean? So we did the first 2 years just locally, focusing locally. And then when I really felt like it was safe, you know, to start booking international bands, that's when it made sense. And I think doing collaborations with international bands, like what happened with Dusk, we worked together on the release a strategy, and I encouraged him to collaborate with as many international bands as possible, to also help him grow in those markets and to help him also hopefully go on tour in those markets like Germany and the States and Finland and stuff like that. And we're already working on that, inshallah. He's going to go on a tour hopefully within the next year. So yeah, it like, of course, my main focus will always be local bands, and we're going to always support them in multiple ways. One of them is, you know, having collaborations and, you know, opening for metal bands and stuff, international ones.
Gigi, I have a question. What, can you give us an idea of what your role is exactly as a, sorry, as a promoter and an artist manager? What does the job involve? Just like, you know, give us an idea of what that means.
Yeah, you just mentioned Dusk, but, so that would be a good example of that, I think.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'm trying to basically promote heavy metal and just make it coexist with all of the other genres that are receiving attention in Saudi Arabia. So what I'm trying to do is involve our bands and artists in public activations and in public events, and just to normalize it, basically, you know, so that people, when they hear the word rock or metal, it's not a negative thing. And also, like, whenever we have an initiative here in Saudi, you notice that most of the initiatives are accessible to certain, you know, all the dominant genres, but rock and metal was never really included. Yeah. And believe it or not, so many of those doors, I had to knock really hard until they believed me. You know, nobody believed that there was even rock and metal bands. Like, who are they? Where are they? Do people listen to rock and metal here? Where? You know what I mean? Those questions. So this is what promotion is, basically. I'm trying to make it seen and make it visible everywhere so that we can be involved in other bigger initiatives. And this is the goal. It's already happening, as you can see, with the latest announcement of power chord competition. I think this is the first of its kind in Saudi Arabia with the focus of rock and metal. And when it comes to artist management, basically, an artist manager is somebody who would join forces with an artist that they believe in and help them gain exposure and get opportunities for collaborations with brands, help them get booking opportunities locally, regionally, hopefully internationally one day. I'll also help them with their album releases, make sure that they are heard, you just help them in multiple ways. And honestly, Dusk, I think I've said this before in an interview, Dusk, I didn't even know him personally, you know, I just saw him on Instagram before I even met him, and believe it or not, I never even liked his genre, but I really liked how dedicated he was and how consistent he was, and that's basically the reason why I saw potential in him. You know, I might like other local bands' music more for any reason, but I don't see that they're as consistent as Dusk. So there's nothing to manage there, you know, with all due respect. When you want to manage an artist, you need to have something to manage consistently, not like, you know what I mean? What happens with those bands when they just release something and then they disappear and then nothing. So I think Dusk ticked all the boxes for me.
Are you talking in terms of like quality or quantity?
Quantity, of course, you know. Of course, with artist management right now, it's you still cannot monetize as much, but because, you know, we still have like,
it's a lot of social issues. It's multiple. It's like a chicken and egg problem. It's like multiple angles of this problem. There's not enough venues. So why there should be artists that are consistent, that will play, that will release consistently music? You know, there's some of them lack the motivation because they just don't see that there are opportunities to play live as much as they can, or maybe they just don't have facilities, or I don't know. Like, there's so many issues with that. So
exactly. But just to answer Mansour's question, it is also quality, you know. Sorry, quantity. It's basic.
So this, I mean, you kind of touched on this point a bit just now, but like, you know, metal is a very niche genre, it's a challenge, I guess, everywhere, to make it kind of a sustainable business. So, and especially maybe in this region. So how can you make it, you know, into a sustainable business?
Very good question. So I mentioned this in my latest article with Sharq al-Awsat. Heavy metal in specific, if you're going to rely on heavy metal, it's not sustainable. Not yet. And it is the case, by the way, worldwide, especially if you're a small band. It's not sustainable yet unless you're willing to, you know, keep pushing and be completely patient. But our situation, what makes our situation unique is that our ecosystem, our music ecosystem, is still not even fully developed. This doesn't help us either. So it's going to take a while, but it's only a matter of time, especially that now I'm kind of in the know and I know what's happening behind the scenes, you know, with the Ministry of Culture and Music Commission and the systems that they're working on to establish and launch, hopefully soon. It will be a game changer for everybody, you know, for the artists and for the music business professionals alike. But I'm not in it for the money yet. I'm here to help build the ecosystem, to give a different insight. I come from a, you know, from an alternative background, metal rock. So I'm pretty sure we bring a lot of perspective to the decision makers. And this is what I'm, you know, this is why I'm still in the game and not giving up. You know, otherwise I would have given up, you know, since day one. But that's not the point now. How am I sustaining the business itself? Heavy Arabia is just a brand under my main company. And my main company is actually involved in event management and staffing and other things. So I make money off of the other things outside heavy metal. And I use that income to fund those gigs and to help my artists. This is what I'm doing right now. And because this is a question that I always get. Hopefully in the future I can make money off of Heavy Arabia alone, but it's not happening anytime soon.
I'm curious, have you ever, like, you know, approached sponsors for like gigs or anything like that? And I'm just curious, like, what's the reaction usually from them? Like, is it usually like, what is this? Well, why are you even talking to us about this? Or is it like, you know, what is that conversation like?
So the first time I reached out to a sponsor was in 2022 for Desert Rock.
I remember Desert Rock at Nova. That was Dune and Dune, right? Dune played?
Dune, Immortal Pain, Gimmicks.
And Gimmicks.
And Heavy Professor, the DJ. There was a lot of skepticism. Because it was still too soon, Abdullah. It was still kind of too soon. But there was interest, to be honest. There was initial interest, and I was still okay with it not happening yet. However, this year is my probably first solid project where I have like so many sponsors, both from Saudi and from abroad, for the power chord competition, because now we already have a solid track record since the launch basically of Heavy Arabia. And you know, with the Cryptopsy show and Metallica show, so now people can really see that there is a scene to support, there is a market to help build. So I'm pretty excited for you guys to know who the sponsors are for power chord.
I'm super excited to talk about the XP stuff. But before we get there, there's one thing that I really, really need to know before we move on to the XP stuff. I need to know more about the Cryptopsy gig. I need to know, what was the conversation like in being the first? Well, first of all, reaching out to the beloved, you know, well-respected technical death metal band based out of Canada, getting them to come here and being the first metal gig that had an international artist in Saudi Arabia. I just, you know, what was the steps there? Like, what was the reaction from their side? What was the questions? What was the answers? Just walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, so we did a live stream with Matt of Cryptopsy. And somebody asked him this question, actually. And he was like, Guys, we just woke up one day and we saw Saudi Arabia added to the tour flyer, and that's when we found out.
Oh wow!
So that was it, and it was so how it happened. Basically, Mu'tasim again, Mu'tasim Qabbani. I really like. I see him as my mentor, and okay. The person I really owe the world to. He introduced me to their touring agency. Or booking agency, basically, Slaman Bookings. Yeah. And Slaman or Gino, he had already been trying to book a lot of international bands to come play Saudi, but it was never the right time, unfortunately. Like, it was either Ramadan, it was either middle of summer, nobody was home, or it was just the only date that would have worked was a Wednesday, you know, or Tuesday. And, you know, we don't do gigs on those days. So it just never worked. But then he came up to me and he was like, you know, I have Cryptopsy. Would that work? So like, okay, wait a sec. Like,
I mean,
why? Yeah. I was like, wait a sec. We have a lot of people who are into that kind of music. So that's cool. And the date works perfectly. So yeah, let's do it. So yeah, he just literally, Gino is super organized and very straightforward. So he's like, okay, this is what we need. Do you think that you have it? So, you know, like the technical riders and stuff. I took a look at the technical rider, and I think that's the first thing that you need to look at before you even say yes.
Just quickly explain what a technical rider is. Explain what a technical rider is for someone who doesn't know.
Yeah. So a technical rider is, it's a document that shows all of the technical needs of a band, you know, including the backline, mixers, you name it.
Amplifiers, anything that makes the drums, the show, anything to get
yes,
the show running.
Anything. Yeah. Monitors. Anything that helps, to make the show happen. So I took a look at that. I asked everybody. I reached out to multiple backline companies and even like personal vendors, like DIY. And I was like, okay, we have everything. I think we have everything. And, you know, with the technical rider, sometimes you have to match 100% and sometimes you have to offer alternatives. And thank God the band is very flexible and they understood that they were the first band to ever play Saudi. So not everything that they want or that they could find in Canada, you know, they would find in Saudi. So I showed them some alternatives. I'm like, this is what we have. And they were, you know, okay with it. Like, okay, that's cool. We can do that. Like, by the way, the drum kit was a bit small for Cryptopsy, you know.
That's like an important instrument for them because they're like, they're known for their like super fast drumming. Flo Minier, I forgot his name. He was like one of the fastest drummers in the world or something.
Yeah. But they were super nice and flexible. You don't get that with a lot of bands, believe it or not. So
did they do the red M&Ms thing where they requested only like red M&Ms or red gummy bears?
So there is a challenge there because I think only one guy, I think it was Dominic, that was not vegetarian. And I think everybody else was vegetarian. If I'm not mistaken, I totally forgot. Sorry, Dominic, if you're listening. But yeah. So that was a real challenge because in Saudi, you don't have a lot of options for vegans, you know, and you have a contract to sign and you need to provide whatever they want, like vegan pizza in Riyadh. Good luck, you know. There is a little bit of challenge there, but otherwise it was perfect. You know, they were happy to come here. Yeah,
it was amazing.
To be honest, it took us. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I was just. We announced it, I think, 3 weeks before the show happened, but like I would have wanted it to be announced way earlier, but we had also logistical issues with the venue, so you know, it had to be delayed. But at the end of the day, we were 20 tickets away from a sold out show, and I'm happy with that. It was awesome.
That's very nice. That's a success story right there. That's awesome.
I posted it on my Instagram. Like everybody, like people from Egypt, people from Dubai were like, what? Cryptopsy's come? Dude, if I didn't have, I don't know I would have come. It's like, it's insane. And then everybody was like, yalla, get Cannibal Corpse next. Get I don't know what next. Like everybody's just dropping names.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it was the last band that I thought would have come here, you know? Like, I thought maybe it would start, like, with Metallica, some of the bigger names, and then work our way up to, like, Cryptopsy or something.
No, yeah, Gigi, brutal. Just, like, in your face, you know? Like, in your face. Let's get the most tech death metal band.
I think that in itself is metal as hell, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty metal. Yeah. It's pretty punk. It's pretty metal. I have two stories I'm going to say quickly here.
Please.
I'm going to apologize to Cryptopsy for this, but so I came to the venue. Gigi had asked me to come and kind of do a record the show, the set for Waste, Creative Waste, which we're playing with Cryptopsy. So I was there early and I came backstage in the green room where there was food and stuff for the band and all of that. And I came in and I was like, oh man, I'm so hungry. And I started eating from the food. in the green room. And then like Faisal from 966, from the band 966, he pulled me to the side. He's like, Abdallah, come here. And he just pulled me, he's like, dude, stop eating their food. And it was just like a funny moment. The second cool moment though is that the bassist, he saw me, I was wearing an End shirt, one of my favorite bands called End, and the guitarist from that band is a famous producer. His name is Will Putney. And when he saw me wearing the shirt, he's like, did they come to Saudi Arabia? I was like, no, of course not. They didn't come to Saudi. You guys are the first international band to ever come here. Yeah. I was like, no, I saw them in the States. And he's like, let me take a picture with you. I'll send it to Will Putney. I'll tell him you have fans in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you ever messaged him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever did that, but like, I just thought that was a really funny and kind of an interesting.
That was a cool nice moment. Yeah.
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 But all right, dude. I want to talk about this XP stuff, okay? So, you mentioned it a little bit. You want to tell us a little bit more about the... you want to start off telling us the Power Core stuff, or you want to talk about the gig that was announced there, the showcase?
Let's talk about Power Core since it was announced before the showcase. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what this Power Core event is.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's taking place in XP. So for everybody that doesn't know, XP is an event that's taking place between the 5th and the 7th of December. It's organized by Middle Beast. And Gigi has a showcase there. So what's up with the Power Chord event that's happening there?
So the Power Chord is a new initiative launched by XP Music Futures. And it's a guitar competition that basically with the aim of discovering... the guitarists, you know, and talented guitarists in the region. And because it's, you know, we've been focusing a lot on bands, but not on instrumentalists or just people who like to play instruments, not necessarily have bands. So we wanted to do that. And XP reached out to me and wanted to see if we would be down for collaborating and making it happen. So this Power Chord competition is basically it's now open. The application is open. And we're going to have a pool of applicants where we're going to filter and just, you know, shortlist 10 contestants. And then those 10 will go and compete at XP. And then we're going to have 4 finalists. And the 4 finalists are also going to compete again. And we're going to end up with 3 top winners. And the winners, every one of them is going to receive a group of prizes. Honestly, I'm very proud with the selection that we have as prizes, thanks to our sponsors. We have guitar manufacturers, and we have music stores. Yeah, we have, yeah. Ooh. The grand prize is a big, big, big surprise. So and we have, of course, Guitar Plugins, one of the famous companies giving away plugins. Maybe.
I mean, it's the best one in the market right now. So I know, I probably know who you are. Right,
maybe, right, maybe, or maybe it's something else. So
does it rhyme with Whirl PSP?
Well, there is a DSP there. There is a DSP. There is a DSP. So, and then the winners are going to also get one-on-one feedback, and then we're going to see how we can develop them after the competition, maybe help them start bands, maybe mentor them. Like, we're going to see how we can develop them further. It's not just, okay, we found you, here are gifts, bye. Like, we want to see how we can develop them and make them valuable members of the community. So yeah, then we're going to announce also a panel of judges. We're going to have six of them. I personally wanted to involve female judges as well. So we're going to have two female judges. We wanted to have three, but the third one dropped. Like, she dropped the project last minute due to unforeseen circumstances. So yeah, and the judge panel is also going to be amazing. Nice. Maybe you can connect
the judging
panel
was not announced.
Not yet, but it's going to be announced. Yeah.
So how many judges are there going to be?
Six.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
Cool. So okay, cool. Just to recap, the way it's going to be is that people will apply. Out of all those applicants, you guys will filter. They will send in like audition tapes, probably, or audition videos, or something like that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And out of those, 10 of them will be selected to perform at XP in front of a live audience, in front of the judge panel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the winner from there is going to get the prizes, the potential mentoring, coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So four winners.
It's 10 competing, and then four finalists. Then those four will compete. And then we're going to have three top winners based on like a point system.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time. This is pretty common. It happens in a lot of different, you know, places. We've seen like guitar competitions all around the world. But like here, Saudi, like this is, I don't think, and also at a scale where like you're getting awards and, you know, guitars potentially, like you mentioned guitar manufacturers, plugins,
mm-hmm.
you know, big names like mm-hmm. that. That's really cool.
It is. We're very proud of it, honestly. And hopefully like next year, we're going to have a standalone guitar fest. So we'll see how we can expand that, inshallah.
Yeah. And what about the other announcement?
The showcase. Yeah, what do you want to know about the showcase?
Give us an idea of what we can expect from this.
Well, first of all, let's take two steps back here.
Yeah.
Again, how did you convince XP, you know what, guys? I have this band called Sigil. Here's the CD. Listen to them. I think they'll be great for XP. How did that happen? I mean, you know, Kiko, all right, Massive Scar Era as well are interesting, but like Sigil, I want to know how this conversation happened. How did you convince them this?
It's so funny. So this is how it goes with XP. You send a proposal with all the bands that you want to, you know, you would like to have on XP. And you know me, Abdullah, I like to give equal opportunity to everybody. So I literally ask XP to choose a band from each province even. So I have like bands from Jeddah, Riyadh, Khobar. And specifically out of all the bands from Khobar, they're like, we want Sigil. <You know>, like, out of all the bands from Khobar, we want Sigil. I'm like, that's your first choice? You know, and that's I literally had like, I had it between brackets saying, not for the faint hearted. I literally wrote that in the proposal, you know, like, yeah, we want those in specific. So it was an easy choice for them, Sigil. And I don't know, dude, like, I've always wanted to see Sigil live. And Hussein, like, I hope he's watching this. He makes the best mean faces, you know, when he plays the guitar. I don't know if you've seen like play with Creative Ways. He's so mean. Yeah. I love his stage presence. So imagine if it's his band.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking forward to that. So yes, yeah. Sigil was their first choice. It was.
I think it aligns with XP's like, first of all, like XP's kind of ethos of, you know, diverse music for everybody,
yes.
for learning, for, you know, to expand your horizon. You know, XP Morning, you're doing workshops, you're learning new things, you're learning stuff about the industry, about different music stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then at night, you're getting to explore that stuff, where you're hearing, you know, stuff that's more traditional, stuff that's more mainstream, stuff that's weird, like metal, tech death, and I don't know what, you know. So like people who are into EDM are going to come and be like, all right, let's see what's going on here. And they're going to see Hussein. They'll be like, all right, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Where's the door? It's over there. All right. Yeah. But I'm I'm really looking forward to this. Massive Scar Era is one of those really interesting bands as well. I find her, the way she, you know, mixes traditional folk Egyptian music with metal as well, that's very interesting.
Kiko. It's amazing, yeah.
Kiko's a legend. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Kiko, I've been talking to his agent for over a year now, actually. Yeah. And his agent has a roster of all of the legendary guitarists, not just Kiko. And I had been trying to book one of his other guitarist artists to come and give a workshop, but it, you know, it, for whatever reason, it never happened. So then I'm like, okay, what about XP? It would make sense, you know, to have somebody as legendary as Kiko. So I reached out again, and Kiko, there was another option, actually, another famous guitarist, but that one didn't work either. He was on tour.
Okay.
So Kiko, it was an easy yes from Kiko, and we were actually shocked, like how fast we heard back from Kiko. He was really interested in it. So yeah, this is how it happened. And we have more announcements about Kiko, actually, not just this showcase.
Oh, cool. Nice. Okay, yeah. So he's going to be more involved in XP, I guess, and other stuff.
Inshallah. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, Kaiser, of course, I don't know if anybody knows, like, Kaiser is a band that I've, you know, helped with producing their stuff as well, their music. The two singles they've released so far and the last one, which I'm particularly happy with the way it sounds.
Amazing.
Immediately, Azam, like the singer from Kaiser, like when this announcement came up, he just sent me a message, all caps, "We're going to be playing with Kiko! We're going to be playing on the same stage with Kiko!" And it's like, yeah, dude, great job, you know? Honestly, like, this is such a great opportunity for young, upcoming bands and even, like, local bands and everything like that. It's such a very exciting opportunity for a band like Kaiser, who only has two singles. They've barely performed, like, again, we talked about how challenging it is to find time or find venues to perform and stuff like that. So every chance they had to perform, they went and they did there. So they did like four performances locally, and then Fesh, and now like they're gonna be playing with Kiko on the stage. They get to say that we played with a legendary guitarist, the current touring musician for Megadeth. How amazing is that, you know?
Dude, honestly, I live for these moments, you know, to see the excitement in the eyes of our younger artists specifically, you know. I live for these moments. And this is actually the cool thing about, honestly, Saudi Arabia. Like, you know, when they say we dream and we achieve, we really do, you know, and we're not bragging when we say it, but everything is possible here in Saudi. And we're very lucky to be able to, you know, put such bands together on the same stage, and you know, and give those guys even more motivation to keep going. I really believe in Kaiser, especially that they're young, and I want them to one day actually consider music as their main career path. Hopefully, I'm super excited for that. Saraha.
Yeah, they're super great on stage, man. Very passionate and very heavy. Like
super passionate.
It's not to be missed. Not to be missed at all. I have a question, actually.
Yes, Mansoor.
So, sorry, you were saying? Your point?
I was just saying that they have a great fan base as well. Very loyal.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, they really know how to engage with the crowd as well in their shows. Mm. So, definitely, it's something to see. On the subject of XP, this year especially, there's a lot of focus on metal, especially... I've seen like one of the panel discussions going to be revolved around metal. So I just wanted to know, like, how did that happen? Why is there like a lot of focus on metal this time?
Well, because I'm not trying to be cocky. Yeah, I'm not trying to be cocky.
Oh.
But it's because of Heavy Arabia.
a certain, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Wallah, I'm not being cocky, but honestly, like all of these panels, we proposed, and that Middle East panel, I think, is very important. You know, that's our opportunity to talk about this genre, not just about Saudi Arabia, but also the region. And that's why we picked people from Egypt, from Lebanon, Saudi Arabia. We have Faisal as the moderator there. I didn't need to be there. We have Faisal. And then we have Lewis, basically. Lewis is Kiko's manager, and he has worked in the United Arab Emirates, so he has a perspective on. He's gonna bring his expectations of the growth of this genre, basically, in the region, since he's had, you know, so many of the his projects. We're gonna have another panel also dedicated to metal. You're gonna, you know, see it very soon. So yeah, like, we need these conversations at platforms like XP Music Futures, for, you know, because XP, you have a lot of investors that visit XP. I'm not sure if you know about this or not, but a lot of investors visit XP. They see, you know, what's there to invest in, and they talk to artists, they talk to brands. There's even I think there's a segment where people pitch projects in front of investors, and then they see, you know, if there's potential for investment. So when you have these conversations in front of investors, maybe you will catch someone's eye, and then, you know, maybe they want to be on board.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm really excited. This is going to be my first, and inshallah, I bought my tickets. So hopefully this will be my first XP, and hopefully nothing comes up and I end up like every year, like not being able to go. So I'm pretty stoked. I'm pretty excited to go this year. And
And tell people to use our code. Now we have a new code, HEAVY20.
Okay.
Heavy all caps 20. And this should take off 20%.
Basically. Awesome. Okay, we'll put that in our description, of course, along with all the links for XP, for also the stuff that Gigi discussed today in terms of her music as well. We'll be updating our playlist as well. One last thing before we wrap up. There was a you recently did like an event that had Nadir in it. Could you tell us a little bit about this? I wasn't able to attend. I wasn't there. So what was this event for? You know, what was the outcome of it? What happened there?
Yeah. So as you know, Nadir is literally one of the most valuable members in our community, and he recently retired, as you know. So we wanted to do something for Nadir, just to show him that we value him and that we respect him as one of the most important members in our music community. So I have done an event with the Ames before. So Katie reached out to me and she was like, how about we do something like again? And let's do an unplugged show.
Okay.
So of course, I immediately thought of Nadir. And reached out to Nadir, and you know, Nadir's always enthusiastic about, you know, doing something. So yeah, it just happened very naturally, very smoothly, and we got to spend an amazing night with Nadir with a super random playlist. But that's Nadir.
Yeah.
Like, he did Khaliji songs, he did metal, he did punk,
nice.
He did covers of Tash Matash. Cover of Adnan Walina, and then he ended the playlist with a Salam Al Watani. So you think whatever you want to think of the playlist, but it was amazing, honestly. Yeah, it was just awesome. We got to catch up with a lot of friends and make new ones. There was new faces there.
Nadir is a force to be reckoned with, for sure. And he's an amazing guitarist as well, and you know, al-umr kullu, man. And I know that he's you know, retired today, so he gets to enjoy this. Hopefully that means we'll get to see more Sound of Ruby stuff, and maybe we'll see more Sound of Ruby live performances, right? All right.
Gina. Actually, I have one question. One last question.
All right, one last question.
One more question. It's, you know, the Metallica concert that happened last year was, of course, one of the biggest things to happen, like, you know, for metal here, obviously. Can we expect more big names in the future, perhaps?
For heavy metal? Of course. Of course. Yeah. Yes. If you book the final boss of metal, you know, you can book...
the final boss of metal.
For real, you know. Yeah. Of course you can book. Yeah. Inshallah. We don't know if we're going to have them this year. But of course, I don't see why. Are you guys coming to Soundstorm this year?
I would love to. I'm gonna have to see. I'm definitely planning on making an coming to XP like with Abdullah and stuff, but still pending on the Soundstorm.
Soundstorm is also pending for me, unless they make like a huge announcement, something to the caliber of, you know, Metal. Like if they say, and you know, like I know that they, you know, for a show like Soundstorm, they'll need to get like something a bit more popular, right? So that. You know, because it to fit in, just like Metallica, you know, it's a bit mainstream. Mm. So if they say like Korn, or if they say like System of a Down, or if they say like Bring Me the Horizon or something like that, I'm getting my ticket immediately and I'm coming, you know, like I don't Blink. Even if they say like Blink 182, Green Day, something like that, you know, Foo Fighters.
Yeah, all nostalgic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would make a lot of sense for me to go then. At this stage, I mean, Muse, huge respect, but I was never really that big of a fan. 30 Seconds to Mars, like I'm only into one song, so I'm not sure that. I mean, if I would go, I'd probably go to see Eminem, you know, or like Tyler the Creator or something, you know. I don't know.
Before Soundstorm, we have the second part of Riyadh Music Week. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that. So Riyadh Music Week basically starts with XP Music Futures, and then we're gonna have three more days, which is 8, 9, 10. That's gonna be basically activations all over Riyadh. So we're gonna have also another metal night. Ooh. But we haven't announced it. Yeah. So it's gonna be a whole week of heavy metal, which is cool. Nice. So keep your eyes on the heavy metal on Heavy Arabia's Instagram.
Exactly. Nice. Yeah, we're gonna put all those links in our descriptions and stuff. The Heavy Arabia links, the Heavy Arabia Instagram account, so that you can stay up to date. But all right, Gigi. So I know we talked a lot about a lot of stuff. But now is your opportunity. We're going to wrap this up, okay? Any last shout outs? Any last things you want to tell our listeners to do before we end the episode? What accounts should they follow? What they should they do? Anything that they should do before we wrap up?
I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore. But, dude, just when drop an album. I think this is my shout out. Pressure Abdullah into releasing a new album. All
right. I'll do it for you then. Go follow Gigi on Heavy Arabia. Go to the XP links that we're going to put in the description so that you can go and see the shows, the showcase, the power chord competition. And follow Heavy Arabia for the more news regarding events that will happen soon.
Gigi. Thank you so much, Wallah.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you, guys.